in the beginning of the year like this, there are messages we must preach, admonishments we must give the brethren. As shepherds and as ministers of God, I tried during the night vigil to draw our attention to the fact that this is the time you mold what will become of you at the end of the year, and that you should use the power of the tongue. Life and death is in the power of the tongue to shape your life by the confessions you'll be making and the prophecies you'll be prophesying to yourself and your prayer life and the kind of prayer points you will take in this month of January. But I also want to add to that admonishment. Before this month finishes, I should pick a text from John chapter 6. This is what the Lord Jesus Christ said in verse 38. This is what Jesus Christ was telling us. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. So Jesus Christ had his own will, but somebody sent him. Hallelujah. Somebody sent him. You must recognize your origin, church. You must recognize your origin. The Bible calls us ambassadors for Christ. How many ambassadors are here? Okay, so if you are an ambassador, if a Nigerian ambassador is sent to another country to be the ambassador of Nigeria, he is going there not as his own ambassador. An ambassador is a representative of another country. He is there on a mandate. If we are ambassadors for Christ, church, it means you must not lose sight of who sent you here. Coming to Christ, we answered a call. We are called according to your own purpose. What did the Bible say? We are called according to his own purpose. That purpose is his will. This year, and some of the messages I like to talk about to encourage us at the beginning of the year, is that we must learn to walk in the will of God. This year, recognize the will of God and walk in that will. Recognize the will of God. Jesus Christ had his own will. Like every one of us, human beings, we have our own will. But the difference between us and other people is that your own will must be buried in the will of God who called you. And that is a very important point to note in our Christian walk. Walk in the will of God. And why it is important I admonish this is for two reasons. One is for the benefit, for us to enjoy the benefit of walking in God's will. And secondly, for us to also understand the will of God. Because the will of God is twofold. There is the perfect will of God, and there is the permissive will of God. Church, there is the perfect will of God and the permissive will of God, and I have preached this on some occasions and believe you can get that from our tapes. But get it here. Sometimes we walk in God's permissive will and we think we are in his perfect will. And the two of them, they are all the will of God. Hallelujah. But it is better to walk in his perfect will than to walk in his permissive will. So twofold purpose of this message in this beginning of the year. that as we commence the new year, maybe you walked in your own will last year. And maybe that is the reason why you could not achieve anything last year. Why not subject yourself this year to God's perfect will? Certainly, by the end of the year, somebody here, your testimony will be different. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Remember, when the Lord Jesus Christ said in Matthew chapter 7, not all that say, Lord, Lord, shall inherit the kingdom. He said, in that day, many will come and stand and say, it was in your name I did this. I cast out devils. I evangelized everywhere. I had the biggest church. I have the powerful gifts. I was a prayer warrior. I was this, I was that. And he did not deny that fact. And I always call your attention to something. For a man to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and say, was it in your name I did this? It means he was clean. It was not juju he was using. He's sure he was sincere. But Jesus Christ said, get thee away. Hallelujah. I didn't know you. He said, get away from me, you that walk iniquity. He said, not all that say, Lord, Lord, shall enter, but who will enter? Him that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Hallelujah. The emphasis is the will of God. So no matter how sincere you are, if you are sincerely doing it, you can be sincerely out of the will of God. And you will not enjoy the benefit of whatever you are doing. It's important that we take note of that. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And it's, you know, if you study how God works, study how he works. All these stories in the Bible is for us to learn something. It's true. The Lord gave us a key there. In Matthew chapter 19, because of time, I'll be making references. Please try to read those scriptures on your own, because I just want to admonish you. I'm not even taking a teaching. I just want to exhort you. But if I call any scripture, just note it and read it on your own. But everything I say is scriptural. There is a perfect will of God and a permissive will of God. And they came to Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 19. And they asked him, they were tempting him, because they want to see whether he will say something contrary to the law of Moses, and then they will stone him. Is it lawful to put away your wife for anything? For any reason? And he said, no, God hates divorce. Praise the Lord. You should not put away your wife. That is thus said the Lord. God hates divorce. And then they ask him, okay, then why did Moses say, if you don't want the woman again, you write a note, a writing of divorce. Write it from today. I don't want you again. Go and marry another man. Sign it and give it to her. The marriage will be broken. And Jesus Christ answered them and said, that is the key there we have. He said, it's for the hardness of your heart that made Moses to give you that law. And Moses, being a servant of God, when he gives that law, heaven will back it up. Amen. Hallelujah.
But God, amen, will have reversed it. But he left it. And because he left it, it was permitted by God. So you don't commit sin if you are acting on what Moses said. You don't want that woman again, brother. Just write a letter of divorce and let her go. He said, for the hardness of your heart, Moses gave you that law. He said, but in the beginning, it was not so. Can you underline it in your Bible? Matthew 19. If you have not yet underline it in your Bible. Matthew chapter 19, verse 7 said, they say unto him, why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and to put her away? That law is in Deuteronomy chapter 4, chapter 24. That is where Moses gave that law. You read it from verse 1. And he said unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, suffered you, that permitted you to put away your wives. But from the beginning, it was not so. Underline it. In the beginning, it was not so. And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committed adultery, and whoso marrieth her, which is put away, doth commit adultery. The emphasis there is in the beginning. It was not so. What is the beginning? The beginning is the beginning of marriage. In the beginning, God gave a wife to Adam. Adam prophesied, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two of them shall become one. And what God has joined together, let no man put asunder. No situation, no condition should break that marriage. Except it be for fornication. That is the reason why Adam received a curse. He was supposed to put that woman away. He held onto her and accepted the curse with her. Praise God. Except it be for fornication. Listen, church. My emphasis is go back to the beginning. In the beginning, it was not so. What is God's perfect will? Once you are married, no divorce. Amen. Amen. But something can happen. And you will find every reason to put away your wife. And a prophet will prophesy to you. And you will reason. And you see everything. Every reason to put away that wife. And you will even hear a voice telling you, put her away. And it may be a voice of God. Now, that is why I am going. It was a permissive will. Don't walk in God's permissive will. We are to walk in God's perfect will. It is seeking for perfection that brought grace. Grace is establishment of perfection. When God says, hallelujah, hallelujah, God, the Bible expects us to be perfect. We are to move on to perfection. Apostle Paul says so. To the Hebrews. We are to move on to perfection. Hallelujah. Maturity. In the knowledge of God, it establishes you. Church, if anybody here, you have put away your wife for any other reason other than fornication, and then you are hearing a voice backing you up, you are living in God's permissive will. Go back to your wife in the beginning it was not so. Because the Bible says in Romans chapter 7, reading from verse 2 and verse 3, it says a woman is bound to her husband as long as he liveth. As long as your wife is alive, as long as your husband is alive, you are in that bondage. You are bound together. It is only death that can separate you. For better, for worse. For richer, for poorer. In sickness and in health. Until death do us part. And you are not the one to kill him or kill her. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Malachi chapter 2 verse 14 and verse 16 says, God hated putting away. So why will you be involved in something God hates? Praise God. Praise the Lord. Now, if I can just add this. Yes, you can have a bad wife. Some wives are very bad. Some husbands too are very bad. Listen, church. Now this is a serious thing. I have gone deep in that teaching. Some husbands are very bad. Some wives are very bad. But church, just as some of us have children that are very bad, and some children that are very good, and some of us have fathers that are very bad. But you, the son, you are very good, but your father is very bad. You know, some fathers are very bad. They born you, they don't recognize that they born you. Eh? But he's still your father. He's still your son. Only he's a bad father, he's a bad son. So also, she's still your wife. He is still your husband. He is a bad husband. But he's still your husband. But bad husband. She's still your wife. But bad wife. But let me tell you something. The difference between us and unbelievers is that if you, for Christ's sake, remain in that relationship, then God is obligated to change that condition, to change that situation. No matter how bad he is, you are thinking, yeah, my God can do all things. You know, include changing that bad man. Is there anything too hard for my God to do? Yes. And there are some conditions that you enter and you cannot change your mind. Amen. Some people don't like that kind of someone. But you have no option. Once you are married, you remain married. That is God's perfect will for you. Don't use human reasoning and see every reason why you should put away that woman. Unless you catch her in fornication. And not that you are suspecting her of being in fornication. No suspicion. She may go out. I see this one. I see that one. There must be concrete evidence. You catch them red-handed. You must not use them. Say. So don't use any human reasoning to break that which God has established. The footstep of the righteous is ordered of God. That is concerning marriage. I have to let us know there is God's perfect will which we must walk in. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It's true, because if you go to the Old Testament, people who don't understand the Bible, you look at polygamy. One man married 1,000 wives. One man married 300 wives. Polygamy everywhere, they were marrying women, changing women like rapa. Apart from the wives, they even had concubines. And nowhere in the Old Testament where God spoke against it. And because God did not want anybody to put away those wives, some people in this age are seeing reason to marry more than one wife and still serve this Jehovah God of Israel. No! In the beginning, it was not so. It was God's permissive will. Polygamy is not permitted by God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It's true. just as we saw in understanding the will of God. In 1 Samuel chapter 8, we see another story there. God's perfect will to lead Israel was to lead Israel by the prophets. The leadership of God's people in every generation, the leadership is by a prophet. That is God's own way of dealing with his people. Why? Because the word of the Lord always comes to the prophet. The prophet is positioned in the land so that people can come and know God's will, and so that God can talk to the people also through him. So, leadership of the Church of Jesus Christ is by those dispensational prophets. I don't mean the fivefold ministry prophets of Ephesians 4:11. God ordained in every dispensation, there is always a dispensation of God dealing with his people. He will put his prophet in the land, and he was leading them through Moses, and he left Moses and went to Joshua and went on and on like that. But a time came, that's where I am going, Israel, because they saw the way that other nations, they were fighting battles, they were always going with their king and all the royalty that went with those kingship, and then, you know, fighting those battles, they wanted, they came to Samuel and said, we want a king. And Samuel began to cry, why will you people reject me? Did I cheat you? Did I, you know, take your property in any way? Is there anything I said that didn't come to pass? Why will you reject my leadership? And suddenly God came down to Samuel. Open 1 Samuel chapter 8.